Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Padantikam Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
First of all, let me deeply thank all of you for coming. I so much appreciate having a good audience. Remember, in the practice of bhakti, there's six loving exchanges. It's not just meditation. It's how we deal in our life. Dadati pritagrinati, we give gifts, we accept gifts. Guyam atyachi prikshati, we teach and we learn. Or we reveal our mind in confidence and we explain in confidence. And bhunte bhojiyataiva, we give prasadam and we exchange prasadam. So this is not just an intellectual experience, it's also experiential. It's a bhakti experience of teaching and learning. And last week when I went around, and I went around where the different people were discussing the different subjects, I was really happy, because people were conceptualizing and expressing, and which meant understanding what the points were in the class, you know. But they really, to express something clearly, you have to understand it. So I understood, hey, people were understanding something, and you know, it's just in terms of the nature of the class. The main thing is that people can come. So if people don't come, there's no class. So you have to figure out, it's New York. I mean, how many weeks can I give them? You know, if I said, okay, a three-month course, maybe less people will come, you know, but there's a certain amount. So I figured on 9 weeks. But it's a lot to cover. But at the same time, I feel what my class is doing is giving you really the template to really understand this deeply. Because after the class, you can go back and listen to the whole thing again, or read any of the books, which reminds me to shut off my cell phone so I won't be embarrassed in the middle of the class if it goes off. So in the class, I think I'm getting better at preparing, trying to figure out what to give, the main points, because things are in the book. You can go over them and really get the main ideas. I'm thinking even somehow we'll keep this group together, even if on the Facebook page I could maybe post everything every week or go over some subjects or answer questions. And also, as you're digesting the material, and it's a very personal thing, actually, because you're hearing tattva. Tattva means thatness, a reality. And reality reflects on your life. And then it churns in your heart, and then you try to understand it, and how do I apply it? I'm always here, if people know me, for any discussions or questions, even after the class or during the week, if you want to discuss any of the points further, to understand them or understand how it affects you personally. So we're going to follow basically the same schedule as last week. I think it's okay to take a break. And you know, I can really push you for an hour and then take a break and then push you for another hour. And we'll do like that. There's a lot to cover today. So pray for me. And hopefully, hopefully we will, you know, they're not as much deep philosophical points, but explanations. You know, what we're covering is, next. Yeah, okay, it's, well, it may not, okay, hopefully it'll fit. It may have to be a smaller font or something. We'll try this for now. It's great that now people are helping do Rutti's job and there's three people to do his one job. So I'll tell one story about that, a very good bhakti story. You know, if I had more technical skills, I would show you pictures of great devotees I knew. But one of the most universally respected devotees was this devotee named Vibhu Chaitanya, who was an older man, and he came to Vrindavan. And he wound up as the cook in our temple. You trying to get it?
The program quits when you use slideshow.
What?
The program quits when we use slideshow.
Okay. Okay, well, it's okay. So, he was universally accepted as such a great devotee. And at that time, he used to cook on coal. You know what it's like to cook on coal? It's not that you can lower the flame and, you know, you got to break the coal. It's a whole thing. And, you know, we had a very elaborate cooking. I think there's four or five offerings a day, including the Raj Bhog, which is the middle offering, which is, and it's, I mean, it was so elaborate, the sweets and the savories, and he cooked it all himself. He would get it there at 2 in the morning, he would leave 10 at night, and then whenever you were feeling a little bit down, somehow there'd be a knock on your door, Haribo, Haribo, and he'd give you a little package of the prasadam. He was such a, and he became too old. He actually became too old to do it. So one day he was walking down the stairs, and I was walking up the stairs, and he was laughing because he couldn't do it anymore. But they replaced him with six people. So he said, ah, six people, six people. It was one man that was doing it. And then I'll tell the story later when we cover one of the items, how he made this, he would hand out the charanamrita, that's the water that washed the deities. And how wonderful, how much thought into every service. Because what is bhakti? Bhakti is to please. And when you're in the mood of pleasing, you try to do things as nicely as possible. So even a simple service of just handing out, you know, you line up and you get, I'll explain how even that, and then even when he got too old to do that and he was confined to his room, you just couldn't stop his service. So anyway, there are 64 main principles of devotion. And remember what these are. Is there was a big rule book called Hari Bhakti Vilas, written by his older brother, Sanatan Goswami. And he gave the main principles with their references. And what are these principles? These principles are, remember, what is it? Ways in which we can understand we should fix our mind on Krishna to bring bhakti in our hearts. And the way studying Shastra works, even for me, I'm reading these, and it's coming to my forefront when looking at the deities, that it's bhakti, looking at them, meditating on them, and the devotion comes into your heart. smelling the flower garlands offered to the deities, and devotion is coming into your heart. So it gives you so many options in so many ways. Now, one thing I read, which I'm going to share, is some of the items are you can only do yourself, right? Like an individual prayer. Some of the items you can do with many people, like when you chant with many, many people, you serve with many, many people. Some items you can practice, it's just one item, and some items are many items together, like Guru Pad Ashray, you take shelter of the Guru. There's so many things that you do. So so many varieties of ways in which you, and what is the main principle of devotion? Somehow or other, fix your mind on Krishna. And this is really just to bring that bhakti or devotion into your heart. And there were, first, there were 20 most important principles. 10 were rules. You should do that. The next 10 are regulations, things you should avoid. I want to go over some of them just because I revised the notes again. I went over the notes again. One of them, remember, they were free, you know, it's Guru Pada Shraya was the first one. You take shelter of a guru. Maybe I should explain something like that, that concept of shelter. What does the concept of shelter mean to you? What?
Protection. Safety.
What?
Safety.
Yes, secure. So it's a relationship with God through a person where you feel safe, you feel secure in terms of the guidance and instructions you're getting, and you feel shelter. And shelter also means love, just like you're in the child is in the mother's arms. He feels love. And that's safety, that's secure. So you feel shelter. And you take shelter. And you take instructions. And you take a commitment. And then you feel like serving. Because I tell stories to keep everybody up and alive. I will tell a story about about service. It may be connected, it may be not, you'll see. I went to see this saint in Vrindavan, right? Do you know Hari Priya? She was married last week. It was her guru. And her guru was a godbrother Prabhupada, very favorable. And I went to visit him. And I don't know why he looked at me, and I was with a friend, and he said, "You want to understand Raganuga Bhakti?" We're studying that next week. That's very high meditative devotion. It's very important to understand what it is. And then he looked at me, and he said, "But in the West, you want to understand that love." He said, "But in the West, you don't even understand the love of a mother for their child." I guess because he heard abortion and these kind of things or whatever. He said, "You don't even understand the love of a mother for the child." And then he began to cry, and he said, "Without understanding that love, how will you understand Mother Yasoda's love for Krishna?" And then he said, "Just like in Calcutta, I knew a 75-year-old man, and he had 10 factories and 1,000 people working under him. And he had 10 sons and 5 daughters and 30 grandchildren. But he would only take food from the hand of his 95-year-old mother. If you don't understand that love, how will you understand the love of Mother Yasoda for Krishna? So that's love. And you want to take shelter, and you want to serve. And it's taking shelter and serving Krishna. Because it's sometimes it's called a channel. It's the disciplic succession. It's coming. Anyway, we discussed that, but then after that it said, but also following the saints. Not just I have a guru or a teacher, but we follow the saints. And it's not bhakti if we don't follow the saints. It's not exclusive devotion. It said, even if, because it gave the example of Buddha. Buddha is an incarnation of God. But what he preaches, Buddhism is very effective for understanding the mind. But its ultimate goal is not theistic. So it doesn't give principles for actually devotion and following God. So it's not bhakti. Even if they're following Buddha, it's not bhakti. Because it's not based on the bhakti text, the sacred text, the Vedas. So then there's another one which said accepting what is necessary. And what it means is you shouldn't take in excess what your needs are, and you shouldn't take in destitution. You shouldn't take less than your needs in bhakti. Otherwise, that will take one away from bhakti. And Prabhupada even gave the example of taking amount of chanting that you could do and not making vows that you can't do. So very interesting. So that principle I just wanted to cover. One of the principles, one of the regulations is not being too disturbed, unnecessarily disturbed in worldly affairs. And it gave some time, no complaining when you receive less than expected. You know, sometimes you may not get what you expect. So there's so many principles of how to focus the mind, both in your actions, in your attitudes, in your words. So how the bhakti or devotion comes into the heart. And it's very, very practical. And at the end, it's going to say you can practice anekanga bhakti, which means, ekanga means one item, or anekanga, you can do many items. Whatever works. Whatever, I always tell my friend Borijan Prabhu, whenever you come, he's very, person has a lot of wisdom, whenever you come to see him, he would create a relationship where we'd get a little deep, because that was his nature. So he'd always ask you, what is your taste in Krishna consciousness? What do you like to do in Krishna consciousness? Because he was making the point that your taste, of course, is your door to bhakti. It's your door to the spiritual world. Some people go with kirtan. Some people go with deity worship. Of course, you do many or one, but we gravitate towards certain things. Some people do studying. Some people do... Upstate where I live, when I'm hardly ever there. I got to go up there 2 days this last week. I have a little place in the kind of the country, and it's a little saint village. Next to me, there's this one very saintly lady that lives, and it's all this head of this record company, who of Equal Vision Records, that also has Mantrology, and he's a very altruistic person. So he saw I didn't have any place to stay. So he renovated this barn for me. And then this lady who was living in an ashram got ill, and he bought her a house. And then his own teacher got very sick, and he bought him a house across the street. And that teacher has one assistant, and he has such a taste for serving his guru. It's just unbelievable. He just likes the personal service because he's old and he's actually almost, he needs almost like personal care. He's 75 and he wrote Prabhupada's biography, this person, and he actually gave his youth to Prabhupada in such a way. You wouldn't believe this person was one of the 12 managers of ISKCON worldwide, even though it wasn't his nature to manage. And he was also writing Prabhupada's biography. And he used to get up every night at midnight for years to write, to think. So right now he doesn't have much left. He, you know, in sports, I used to be a sportsman for many years before I was a monk. You know, you have that expression, you know, you left it all on the field. So he left it all on the field. And this person just serves him so humbly. You can't imagine how this person serves. So he has a taste. It's called Pada Sevan, is one of the 9 practices. It means humble service. You know, and then we see some people like the Ananta and Achyuta and the whole family, Kirtan, 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 Kirtan. So there's so many different ways. My godbrother, Satyaraj, constantly writing books. One time I went to visit a great saint in Vrindavan, and he would do a lot of chanting, but when I came in the room, he had just finished writing. And he looked up to me and he said, "Oh, this is a nice Krishna Anushilanam." What does Krishna Anushilanam mean? Someone can say? What? Okay. Others, Krishna Anushilan, and our definition of bhakti. Matthew, yeah, that's activities that follow Krishna's desire, intentionally. That's bhakti. You intentionally follow what does Krishna want. So he was writing, and he said, "Ooh, this is a good Krishna Anushilanam." He was writing. It takes a lot of thought. So there's many, many ways. Many, many ways. So that's there. Now, we discussed three were most important. And that's the shelter of Krishna. Krishna's desire. Krishna Anu. What does Krishna want? Which is represented by one who represents Krishna. Just as the viceroy represents the king, if you wanted to please the king, the viceroy embodies his will, his desire. So we do it through the teachers. And when you learn about the subject of guru, tattva, the subject of guru, one can have many gurus. They appear in different ways. It's Krishna manifesting to you through someone's heart. So, and then of the regulations, it said one must be careful, I'm going over, to avoid various offenses in chanting the holy name and worshiping the deity. And you remember there was such a list of items? It was like a whole list of items. It can get confusing almost. Don't do this, don't do this, 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 this. But the essence, again, was Krishna's in the center. When you go to the temple, what the temple means, what the deity means, is someone is in the center besides you. Even when we worship the deity, I found this out, you know, incense is fragrance. So first with fragrance, fragrance represents the earth. No other elements have fragrance. Then you do water. Water has taste. Right? Fire and others, fire, air, ether don't have taste. So what taste? And then fire you can see. You can't see air or ether. Then air, you can feel. You can't feel ether. Then ether is sound. So these are all the objects. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. So the incense is earth. Then the water, of course, water is water in the Tate, and then there's fire, and then you do the fan, the peacock fan is air, and the chamar is very subtle, it represents either. God's in the center, and what bhakti means is everything is for God, and it's very natural because we're part of God. And the part is meant to serve. It's our constitutional position, as much as the hand is part of the body. And it's a very beautiful concept. It's the concept of ultimate harmony. There's no beauty without harmony. There's no beauty in anything, whether it's a composition, whether it's a community, whether it's a family, whether it's music, there's harmony. And harmony means everything is connected by one thing, which we are part of. So there's harmony with God. We're all connected to one thing, which we are part of. And that's happiness. When you function in that way, that's happiness. So there were so many items I described, but really it meant that awareness, especially when you're in a temple, when you're before the deity. One time, I used to have the function in Vrindavan. I used to have the service. When we'd have Prabhupada's disappearance festival in Vrindavan, it's a big festival, and I was in charge of inviting the saints who had knew Prabhupada. Many, many people who knew Prabhupada. Even not many people know, Prabhupada had a first disciple in India before he came to America, who was a Sanskrit scholar named Acharya Prabhakar. So inviting him. So I invited one saint. He said, "What will I say? What will I say?" I said, "But you lived with Prabhupada. You lived with Prabhupada. You knew Prabhupada." And he said, "I did not know Prabhupada." He said, just like if you're in the temple before the deities, right, and you're just talking away with your friend and your back is towards the deity. I said, "You saw Prabhupada." He said, "I did not see Prabhupada." I said, "What do you mean? You were with..." He said, "No. Just like you're in the temple, are you seeing Krishna?" So it's that kind of awareness, that type of consciousness. If I gave like a class, like I was in Vrindavan where no one works, I'd give the class for 30 days. Then we can go over each item, spend one day, etc. But the books are there. You can read it. You can find out. But that's the essence of it. And then it listed the 10 offenses. And aparad is the word for offense. Yeah, we're on the next one. We're on the right one. No, go back. I made a mistake. The various offenses, which are 10 in number, and sometimes in the temple that they actually chant them every day, because bhakti is easy, right? Even a child can do bhakti. Bhakti is very, very simple. There's no material qualification. I gave the example of a mother. She has a relationship. There's no other qualification to serve. You just have to do it. So bhakti is easy. What's difficult is avoiding offenses. And if you avoid offenses, bhakti grows in your heart very rapidly. So that's the challenge. And I'll tell a story. You know, every year, and I'll make the invitation, anybody here wants to come to Vrindavan, you just let me know. You can ask Lisa or Cybel or Megan or Janine. I can, Alexandra, Nikki, you can, you know, Micah. You can just ask. It's such a nice thing. You can just come, and I give class once or twice a day and take you to a holy place. It's a very simple thing. I was talking about avoiding offenses. Is it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, so when I'm in Vrindavan, what I try to do, which is becoming increasingly more difficult, but I've done it for so many years, is I try to take a month for myself and go to this little place I have near the sacred mountain and just chant without any distraction. And we're going to read it. It's one of the items called Kartik. It's a special month where you take vows to increase your devotion. So I would take a vow of chanting. And whatever strength I have, I think, comes from that month. And so it's considered the last 5 days. They say you can get the, if you make a vow the last 5 days, it's very special. So a lot of times people are busy, just the last 5 days they make a vow. So I remember Jai Dwaitamarj, he's here, he'll give class after this. He's an amazing person. He's Prabhupada's personal editor. So he was so busy with service, I asked him, what's your vow? And there was no internet at the time or something like that. He said, well, I'm giving up reading newspapers for the month. So I asked another friend, what do you, he said, I'm not going to criticize anyone for the last 5 days. I said, well, hey, that's great. I'll also do that. And in India, when you say something wrong, the Indian, part of the Indian culture is, Satyahari, you may see this, you grab your ears and you bite your tongue. So I thought, well, okay, if I ever criticize, I'm going to do that. And when you give up a vow to not criticize, you'll realize how much you do. And but the first offense to the holy name is sadhu ninda, to criticize people who are dedicated, who are giving themselves to service and devotion. And, you know, the way it is, people give themselves, but everyone has a little part of their false ego, which touches with someone else's false ego specially, or there's someone's like that really touches with someone else's dislike. But sadhu ninda, it's to criticize. And interesting, it says that criticism is worse than envy. Because criticism, envy is when it's in the heart, and criticism is when it comes out. And it said criticism is worse than throwing a spear through someone's body. Because the spear can only pierce the body, and criticism can pierce the heart. So there's 10 offenses, and you could read them. And everyone has my email. If you don't understand anything, you can always write me. It would have been nice, you know, you can give a whole class on just what they are. And somehow we don't have, let me see, maybe I do it listed someplace here. Yeah. Anyway, so that we have to watch out. And also, it says it's also an offense to be inattentive. Because what japa meditation is giving your consciousness to God. It's a very personal thing. And you ever speak to someone and they just kind of turn away? How do you feel? So really, attentiveness in devotion is very important in giving yourself. Okay, let's go to the next, not tolerating criticism of the Lord or his devotees. I'll tell you an interesting story about this. Is when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I was very enthusiastic. And in those days, there wasn't the level of communication there is now. So my parents, they flipped out. In fact, I met the devotees in 1970. Until 1974, I didn't join the ashram because I knew kind of, you know, my parents would be, you know, it was a whole different world then. You know, so it was really a bad match because I yet had such strong religious experience, such an experience of sublimity that came into my heart that was beyond anything sensuous or egoism or anything. It was some sublime feeling of faith in communion with God. And I had no capacity to communicate it to my parents, and they had absolutely no ability to understand it. I mean, it was a terrible match. So one day I just said, woo, I just left. You know, no, I left. I mean, I just joined the temple and wrote them a crazy note. And you know, we weren't as expert as the Bhakti Center either as presenting things. It's a bad combination. But anyway, out of love for me, they hired people to kidnap me. So anyway, somehow or other, I was kidnapped off the street in front of a temple. Anyway, I got in the car innocently. I thought we were going to the drugstore, but they drove around the corner and this big thug got into the car named Goose. I swear to God. And my uncle got into the back seat. I think he was funding it. And my uncle was, his apartment was 1 Fifth Avenue, a penthouse or... He had several pens. He was very, very wealthy financier. I think he was funding it. And they took me to this hotel room and then they tried to blow my mind. They really tried these psychological techniques. I'm not going to tell the whole story. I'd have no time for the other items, but it is fascinating, including my several escapes. One was in King's Plaza in Brooklyn. But the interesting thing is, it was a guy called Ted Patrick. He was the chief one. So they sat me on a chair, and they were doing all kinds of things, trying to blow my... They weren't successful. So they cut off my sika, and then he took the button I had of Srila Prabhupada, my guru, and threw it on the floor, put his foot on it, and then started to curse Prabhupada with four-letter words. And then he looked at me, and he was kind of from the south, and he said, it says in your nectar of devotion, that's what he said, it says in your nectar of devotion, page, you know, something, something, that if someone blasphemies your guru, you got to kill him. All right? You know, fortunately, I read the book already and the commentaries. Because what he's trying to do is, okay, now you believe in this, right? So I knew the other option is you can walk away. Anyway, somehow or other, I just got up and started to walk away, and then I was able to say something to distract. But again, when you love to hear criticism, it hurts and one shouldn't tolerate it. And generally means you walk away or you defeat the person in an argument. And I've seen this many times destroy people's spiritual life. I was once in a temple, and there was a great saint. He was one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. And he was just trying to help devotees after Prabhupada left. But somehow or other, the people took it as a threat, and they started to make fun of him in the temple. And I walked out. But I just saw the effect that that had on those people. So we have to be very careful. This is a very important principle. We shouldn't hear criticism. It's not good for our bhakti. We shouldn't hear criticism. Tilak and Tulsi beads, there's a nice quote. You know, the Nectar of Ocean has so many nice references. It says, the messengers of Yama, the god of death, cannot touch one who is the letters of Hari's name written with gopi clay on the forehead and a garland of Tulsi on the chest. You know, so it's kind of, I had a secretary, she deals with everything from getting me passports for 20 years, you know, married lady, she lives in Queens, beautiful children, passports, anything with banks or insurance or anything, she deals with it all. So before she was married, she was like the secretary of a advertising firm, you know, on Madison Avenue. And she invited me up. And I came up there, and it was dress down Friday or something. You know, I know how it goes. And I got in there. And this was 20 years ago, so I didn't, you know. But somehow or other, everyone was, you know, I walked in, and there was a computer printout, welcome Hare Krishna. I was in one office. I was going from one office to another, and one guy came in and gave me some bananas and said, here's some prasadam, and walked out. Oh, what? Who is he? And then I wound up by this desk, and everybody was around me, and I took off. I had a garland, and I gave it to the production manager. You know how they make, there's one, you can buy anything in New York, but you can't get a garland from Radha Govinda Mandir or Radha Murli Dar, those beautiful garlands. You know, that these girls, Megan and all, it's Clarissa and Champak, that they make these garlands, the intricate garlands, you can't get them anywhere. Can't get them anywhere. They're so beautiful and fragrant. So I took the garland, I gave it to the production manager, and she, ah. Then she said, why do you wear this? I said, it's like a uniform. I said, just like a policeman. You know, he can do his office in plain clothes, but it gives one a why you wear a uniform? Because I told you, I was a sportsman, so I used to wear a uniform. It gives you a mood, and you can be identified. So when you wear tilak and these things, it reminds people of God, reminds you of God. So it's considered auspicious in that way. Dancing before the deity. How nice is that? This morning I came here to the Mangal Artik and they sing such beautiful songs to the Guru. Samsara dava nalalida loka tanaya karuna ganaganatam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya Vande Guru Si Charanaravin. Vande Guru Si Charanaravin. And I was just dancing, just spinning. And spinning and dancing. And one time I went to see this great saint, Ramesh Baba, if you read Radhanath Swami's book, The Journey Home. And I went to see him. I didn't know. And I went there in the evening, and he has a school for just girls. He takes all these poor girls from poor families, and he has like an ashram of them, and he makes them pure devotees. They're from Barsana, it's the place of Radha. The girls grow up in that little place. It's the most beautiful place in Vrindavan. And girls grow up in that. They don't think that Krishna was 5,000 years ago. They grow up, he's still in the village. And the people there are the sweetest people, really the sweetest people. And in the evening, they have this young girl. He used to do it. He gets a little older. Some girl, I know, she must be about 20 now. She's like the, I think the next acharya, and she... They have a Casio, and she sings. She sings these Braj bhajans much better than me. Shama Gauri Nitya Kishori Prithama Jori Sirade Rasika Rasilo Chaila Chabilo Gunagara Bilo Si Krishna Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Si Radhe. Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Si. Beautiful. Shama Gauri, Nitya Kishori, Pritam. And they sing these, and the girls do this whirling dervish. Spinning fast for 1 hour in these beautiful skirts, like, you know, like that spin around, and mostly young girls, but sometimes an older person too. And then when it ends, they're not dizzy. And then they sit, and then he gives them some moral instruction. So I went afterwards and I said, "Is this traditional?" Oh, he said, "Yes, yes, yes." He said, "When they dance like this, you forget your mind. Only Radha and Krishna." Close the window. It's no problem. Okay, that's good. No, thank you. No, please do it. We'll do it. If we get a little hot during the break, we can do the air conditioning. I think just shut it all the way. It's okay. On the break, we'll turn up the air conditioning just a little bit. Fine. Thank you. So... He said, "Yes, this is traditional." He said, "They think of nothing but Radha and Krishna." And I think so. They just forget themselves. So then later I asked him, "Do you have any questions?" I said, "What about, how can I increase my smarana, my meditation?" And he said, "Just like Lord Chaitanya in the Rath Yatra, the festival of the chariots." And he gave this word, I forgot what it means, but it's like a firebrand. When you put a fire on a rope and you spin it around, you can't tell where it is. It forms a circle. So they said, Lord Chaitanya would dance like that. He said, like that. You just forget. And you'll see there's a biography in the guest house of this lady Jamuna Devi, who is considered the greatest lady saint. Prabhupada said she had bhava. I went to the anniversary of her deities, the 20th anniversary, and she was living for 2 years at my friend Henry's house in Washington. He has a mansion in the embassy section of Washington. He gave her a section. And then we had a beautiful festival. And then the next day, I gave class on this verse from the Sad Goswami Astakam, and then we did kirtan. And I just saw her just moving and just... relishing the holy name. So dancing. Very beautiful. Yes?
For the girls here, they have those skirts downstairs. Go to Harinam, do it. It's fun. Invitation.
Thank you. Very. Chris is inviting everyone. They have nice gopi skirts and you can join her on the Harinam. Thank you.
It's true. It's fine.
No, it is. Yeah. Okay. I fully agree. Now if they do it outside this week, I'll try to come every day. I'm not a Subway person. He's a Subway person. Okay, so bowing down before the deity, It's, you know, they divide it in many ways. One is nine items, padasevanam, humble service. One is you pay your obeisances. But it's not just a physical thing. It helps your mind go where the body is. Your mind should go where the body is. So even when you pay ordinary respects, the head goes down, the heart goes up. Or when you go flat out, they do that going around Govardhan Hill. They go Dandavat Prakram. It takes 50 hours. People do 6-7 hours a day. Madhava the Kirtanir, Bibi Govinda, they go sometimes. Some people do 108 in one spot. It takes them 7 or 8 years. But just to pay your obeisances with consciousness. And what is the consciousness? There's something greater than me. That's a wonderful feeling. I was staying in the Brooklyn Temple and I visited my brother in Park Slope. My two brothers were there. My mother was there. I showed a slideshow and someone was bowing down and my brother said, I don't bow down before no one. Oops. Wow, I got a cramp in my foot. Ooh. Let me stand up. Oh. Whoa. Oh, that's interesting. Standing up to receive the Lord. You know, it says when a superior comes in, they say, if you don't stand up, your life air rises. So I don't know if this is just an expression or some subtle science. And if you don't stand up, you lose part of your life air. But it's so natural. And it's part of people who grew up in a proper culture, whether it was India or maybe even some places in South America or something, or, you know, these things, you know, that respect. So that's part of bhakti too. The teacher or that was very strange and it's still happening. Okay, next. Following the deity, or even when a revered god brother of mine comes or a guest and they are leaving. You follow them to the door. Part of bhakti. Going to the temple of Vishnu are places of pilgrimage. The intelligent person who enters the temple of Vishnu with devotion does not again enter the prison of a mother's womb, you know. There's descriptions in the Bhagavatam what it's actually like to be in the womb and how someone can even pray. Going to the temple, you know. If you're in New York, you get on the subway and you're headed to the temple, it's bhakti. If you're in that consciousness, I'm going to the temple. Or driving from Pennsylvania. It's bhakti. I remember, you know, I've been in India. I'm so attached to staying in Vrindavan. And for my first 20 years, I stayed all the time. And then I got a quit India notice from the government because, you know, I'm there for 20 years as a student. I guess they caught up to me. And it was kind of, I had to stay out for 6 months. And I was staying in New Jersey. And I would teach Nectar of Devotion at 26 Second Avenue. And I used to come in by the PATH train. And that left me off at 5th Avenue, and I would walk to the temple. And it was really bhakti. Just like Akrura, who came to Vrindavan to pick up Krishna. He came, you know, he was coming to pick up Krishna and bring him to Mathura. He was saying, today I will see the Lord of my life. So there's just so many ways, if we're just a little conscious, how we can bring bhakti into our heart. Ambulating the temple of Vishnu. again, that's you're putting something else in the center and you're putting yourself in the periphery. That's where we want our consciousness to go. That's love, that's service. Love is not, boom, I'm in the center. You're all around me. This is love. Also I go around Govardhan Hill. This year especially, I was trying to go around every day at least half in the morning, like at 5 in the morning. And wow. And then we get like a quarter of a way, every day we'd see the famous blue cows of Vrindavan. Just that, the consciousness of something else in the center, the humility of that. That's why one of the principles is don't circumambulate anybody else before the deities. You may have read that in the Seva Aparaj. Well, what does that mean? You know, Krishna's in the center. Rendering service to the Lord, it's actually a Sanskrit term called paricharya. Paricharya means, it means the mood of worship, like a king. So it's kind of, you know, you can fan the deity, but cleaning utensils, cleaning things in the temple, polishing the brass in the temple, cleaning the temple floor, doing kirtan, just getting a musical instrument and glorifying God. You know, like I say, a lot of these items are, again, they're things you do yourself, but they're also things that you do yourself, but they can combine many other things. So it's creative. It's giving you different ways in which you can focus the consciousness on Krishna and bring that devotion or love into your heart. And next one. There should have been, okay, there's another one we don't need, called singing. Singing. That's okay. I'll just say. Gita. Gita means singing. So it's so beautiful to songs of Krishna. I know Raghunath makes up really catchy melodies. Do you know any of his songs? Sing one. One of them? Good. Hey, listen. There's just so many beautiful. Sai Bell, you remember any of those catchy tunes? And there's many beautiful songs. One of my favorites is Nava Nirada Nindita Kanti Param Rasa Sagara Nagara Bupa Param Shubhavanki Macharu Sikanda Sikam Braja Krishna Nidim Braja Raja Sutam. Braja Krishna Nidim Braja Raja. There's so many beautiful songs. We can spend the whole class. But there's just so many wonderful songs that touch your heart and absorb you. So it's a wonderful way to learn songs. Sankirtan. Loud with others. Satyahari, what would you say? How would they in the tradition, Sikh tradition, say Sankirtan?
They would say, like, well, Nagar Kirtan, you know, outside with everybody.
Yeah.
Like a big, they call it Jaluz.
Yeah, Nagar Kirtan is going outside, but with others. And you can do it Nam, you can chant the names, you can chant the qualities, you can chant the form the activities. So there's all kinds of songs, names, forms,
Seva.
qualities, Seva. Like that song I sing was qualities. Maduram madurebhyo. Okay, good chant. One more. So this is glorifying the names. The names. My dear King, this word Krishna is so auspicious that anyone who chants this holy name immediately gets rid of the resultant actions of sinful activity in many, many births. Megan, turn around and do that verse about the holy name. It's so beautiful. Tunde Tandavani. And I love that one. Okay? Translation.
I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it is the dance of the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. And when that holy name enters the head of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, the posture gets produced in the mind, and all sorts of becomingness. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced.
Very nice. Okay, Leela Sankirtan, next. Leela, of the activities, my dear Lord Nisringha, how do you like that? One of the principles of observing festivals, because we don't do it the same day as Radha Govinda, we're going to do it tomorrow morning, and 10 o'clock there'll be Abhishek, which bathing the deities in Kirtan. 11 o'clock I'll give class. And then there'll be Artik from 12 to 12:30. And then there'll be a drama of Lord Nisringadev with the drama group here. And then there'll be a free prasadam feast. In honor of the sister of one congregational member named Vrinda, that's Satyaraj's wife. She's actually one of triplets. So one of her sisters passed away 2 weeks ago, so she'll... If I can be elevated to the position of your servant, then it will be possible for me to hear about your activities. Your pastimes are transcendental, and simply by hearing of them, one could counteract all his sinful activities. Therefore, I shall not care for all those sinful activities, because simply by hearing about your pastimes, I shall get out of the contamination of material attachment. Maybe I'm thinking next year, maybe sometime I'll just do, I'll do it on this Tuesday if anyone's around. But explaining the pastimes of Krishna with the philosophical context, it's so relishable. It's just so relishable. Okay, next. Japa. I wrote a book on it if you want to get one. I'm up here. I could advertise. And it's personal time. Meditation with yourself. If we had time, I would do that here. But this is entreaty, like prayer. But, you know, the prayer, but really begging God. I think that may be spelled wrong, the first one. But anyway, samparta natmika. Praying for spontaneous devotion. I'll do these two. And lala sai mai. Lala means expressing our desire for a specific spiritual perfection. So this is praying. You don't yet have your relationship with Krishna. You don't yet understand it, but you're praying. And they give an example. And you're praying just as a young boy is naturally attracted to a young girl, and just as a young girl is naturally attracted to a young boy, in the same way, I want to have that type of attraction for you. And Lala Samayi is when you've already awakened an understanding of what relationship you have for God, then you're praying to have some service in that relationship. And Dainya Bodhika, expressing our insignificance before the Lord. That's just, I'm sure, within the book. I think I'll get them just to show you some of those prayers. And then in 5 minutes, we'll just take a break for maybe 10 minutes. Today, everyone seems so attentive that, you know, I may agree with Saibel, I don't want to break the momentum. But this would be, Padma Purana, my Lord, there is no sinful living entity who is more of a sinner than myself, nor there is a greater offender. I'm so greatly sinful and offensive that when I confess my activities before you, I'm ashamed. That's a whole class which I give called The Power and Culture of Humility, which helps one understand the difference between humility and low self-esteem. What I may do is just post links to some of these things on my website, on our Nectar of Devotion thing. Because, again, that's a whole class. But you can see, these are, from your heart, different ways. You're praying for spontaneous devotion. You have it, and you want to serve in a particular way. And beautiful. It's so... Here's one. My dear Lord, when shall that day come when you will ask me to fan your body? And according to your pleasure, you will say, just fan me in this way. The idea in this verse, the devotee is desiring to personally fan the Lord. This means that he's desiring to become a personal associate. Of course, any devotee in any capacity, but according to a devotee's individual taste, a person desires for just one of these relationships. So you have desiring like a particular relationship for Krishna. This is on page 82. And this is such an important thing. Really, real bhakti is called lobha. It's called greed. It means you want it so much. And after practicing Krishna consciousness. So listen what Prabhupada said. He said, one should feelingly pray and become eager to render his particular type of service to the Lord. This is the teaching of all great devotees, especially Lord Chaitanya. In other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique, and he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolyam, and such tears are the price for the highest perfection. If one develops this lolyam or excessive eagerness for meeting and serving the Lord in a particular way, that is the price to enter the kingdom of God. Otherwise, there is no material calculation for the value of a ticket by which one could enter the kingdom of God. The only price for such entrance is lolyam, lala samayi, desire of great eagerness. I'm trying to help edit this book on this person called Ayendra Prabhu, who, it's the official biography, who started this 24-hour kirtan in Vrindavan, and it's been going on now for about almost 30 years, nonstop. It's such an incredible thing. And even what goes on any place is almost the energy from there. And I lived in Vrindavan when he was there, and I remember him coming into my room crying that he wanted to know what is his relationship with God. And then he became so determined for it, this is a fact, not many people know this, that he took a vow that he would not eat or drink unless anyone offered him something. And he wouldn't tell anybody he was doing that. And he did that for 8 months, and sometimes for 10 days he didn't eat. He just wanted to know, what is my particular relationship with God? You know, so it's a very high thing. So why don't we just take a 5-minute break, okay? 5-minute break, and when you hear me, Om Namo Bhagavate, and then we'll go another 45 minutes. Okay, we can stay here for now. ready to begin? The sound, you're checking the sound is on? Okay. This is kind of a nice to hear all these different items and just get a scope of ways in which we can increase the bhakti or devotion in our hearts. it wasn't written down, but there's another one that says reciting notable prayers. That's kind of one of the devotional items that Megan is taken to. You know, somehow she was, an actress, and speaking is natural. So that's the nature of bhakti. So this attracted her right from when she was in Vrindavan the first time. It attracted her. And it helps her to remember Krishna. So it says you can chant stava or stotra. Stava are prayers composed by others. You see, when a person who composes a prayer, it has their mood in it. And when you chant the prayer, their mood comes to you. And whatever type of bhakti there's a prayer to nourish it. Just like on the disappearance day of a great teacher, there's a song written by one of the great acharyas in our line when one of his friends left who was a great devotee. And you chant that, you know, like when Prabhupada's disappearance day, it's a very deep feeling for us. I celebrate it every year in Govardhan. And it's a very deep feeling for us. And when you have feelings, you need to express it in song or prayer. You know, so the prayers, it's a way to objectify your heart in a way that increases your heart. So there's just different prayers, just like actually every morning, most mornings what I do is in my mind I go to Vrindavan and I pray to all our teachers at the various places, their samadhis, their tombs. So for example, there's this Rupa Goswami, it's where Prabhupada lived in the temple where his samadhi was and got inspiration. And there's a beautiful prayer to him, and I meditate. Adadanaschanam dante idam yache puna puna Srimad Rupa padamboja dulisham janma janmani. Adadanaschanam dante with a straw in my teeth. Idam yache puna puna. I bow down again and again. Adadanaschanam dante idam yache puna puna Srimad Rupa Padambo Jaduli Shamja. And I beg for the dust of his feet, birth after birth. So it's, the prayer is written by someone who has that mood of devotion. And then when you chant it, it comes to you. So that's stava. There's so many incredible books written by Rupa Goswami and others of prayers and songs. And all whatever feeling of devotion you have can come into your heart. And then there's stotra. And stotra means things that you compose out of your own heart. You may have your own heartful prayer. So you can chant prayers of others or your own prayer in your own heart for what you need and what you want. So it's so beautiful. And smelling the incense and flowers offered to the deity. Next here. aromatherapy. It works. In Vrindavan, because I've been there since 76. Most of my life's been in Vrindavan. And I grew up with everyone there. I mean, a lot of the shopkeepers weren't even born when I was there. And I go to this one person where I buy oil for my deities. And they get, there's different quality. But he has a really fine rose oil. And what they do, he told me this, is, you make a little, like, Q-tip. And you put it on and you can offer it to the deity. And then they pass it around. And then you can take off the cotton and you can put it in your ear here. And they keep it in their ear. And he told me this. He said, yeah, anytime you're feeling a little down, you just... So even in bhakti, there's aromatherapy. But the thing is, the bhakti is when you have love, then you like to experience how your beloved is enjoyed. It's just like a mother that cooks for their children. Her pleasure is tasting the food in love of her children. How my children have enjoyed that. And I know this, this one mother, she had a lot of children. She's a great devotee in Vrindavan. She's born in America. But, sometimes she cooked for her children, and sometimes it'd be a really good item that they'd want more and more. And then they would say, "But Mom, there won't be for you." "Oh, I'm not hungry. But if she would just taste the grain and how wonderful it was. I used to be at one year, I was in charge of all the kitchens and the feasts. And, 1,500 people and we didn't even have the facilities where to put. But anyway, we'd have gourmet feasts to celebrate the disappearance of Prabhupada and Govardhan Puja. And then afterwards, I'd sit with the cooks and the other people organizing. And we would just taste and relish how much the devotees were enjoying touching the deity. There's a reference there that it's anyone if you become purified and qualified. Seeing the deity, take darshan, look at Radha Murali Dar, see how they're dressed. And that's bhakti. If you want to understand Radha, you have to understand the relationship between happiness, love, and beauty. Love is happiness. And when you love, you offer the best. So when you're in the bhakti tradition, you'll get the best food, the best colors. In our temple in Vrindavan, they have this boat festival. They fill the water. It blew my mind this year. They fill the courtyard with water. And I don't know how they do it, but they have a way of making a mosaic of flowers on the water that says Jai Radhe in different colors with little strings and flowers. It's amazing. And then the whole place is flowers and flowers and beautiful and decorations and love and love. I love you, I love you, I love you. And when you see that, you feel that. You feel the bhakti. And, you look at the deities and the Krishna Balaram Mandir, just like so beautiful. And deity worship, really, the highest standard, they even cook the food. They even plant it themselves and grow it themselves and cook it themselves and offer it themselves. So observing Artik and celebrations of the Lord, we're doing it today. It engages a lot of people tomorrow morning. Very, very beautiful decorations. And observing Artik. Yeah, Lisa, you went. Remember we went to that Tatiastan. There's places in Vrindavan that hardly anybody knows. But I took, who went with us that day?
Vikram and Jayashree Ratnay and Rin and me.
And you, yeah. And we went there, and it's an ashram in Vrindavan. Again, it's an open invitation. If anyone, just write me. And we have, right, my assistant is very nice, how she takes care of the ladies, Jaisi Radhe. And what happens is so we went to this place, Tatiastan, and the nature of Tatiastan is they preserve Vrindavan as it was 500 years ago. So they somehow, it's right in the middle of Vrindavan, but at the end, but they have, you know, 30, 40 acres or something, I don't know. And the sadhus live as they did. They don't have any electricity on the place. You know, and they worship the ground of Vrindavan. They're constantly cleaning it. And when you go in their temple room, which is interesting, remember, it's like going in a maze, and then you wind up, and there's no roof. There's just trees, and there's this sand that's this thick. Beautiful. And about 10 o'clock, they don't have any electricity, so how does everyone know? They have this one guy who has a microphone in his throat, and he walks around and goes, Radhe! Krishna! Shava! You know, it just like yells, and all these sadhus come out, and they're old, and these sadhus, they just put the dust of Vrindavan all over them. And they all come out and they chant classical songs to the deities. And beautiful, like they don't really need instruments. The most beautiful classical songs they're chanting to the deities. It's such a beautiful thing. And one of them told me that their thing is, they said, if you go to the Artik ceremony, in their tradition, they say, that's Artik's when they offer the lamp and all the thing. It says, like, it's equal to chanting 10,000 names of God. That's their mood. But it's beautiful. You see the Artik and the celebrations. It's really, you know, a lot of times, you know, people, families, they're busy. But when it's the festivals, everyone, there's so much service to do. And people become so enlivened. And you try to make it as beautiful as possible. I know when that we had some of our big festivals here, all the people that were engaged was so beautiful. Okay, keep on going. We're going to move now. And hearing is so important. And again, you can hear about the name. The state of conditioned life in the material world is like that of a man lying unconscious, having bitten by a snake. This is because both such unconscious states can be ended by the sound of a mantra. I know I was staying in this place in Mayapur, and someone got bit by a snake who lived kind of like in a little village part of that. They had, and they have a guy in the village that chants mantras. They do, and it's just it's the sound of mantra. There's a lot of mystical stuff. I got cured of, I told you this, of jaundice 30 years ago just by mantra. I got cured in one day. Doctor told me I wouldn't travel for 6 months. But anyway, Nam, hearing the name, you know, the name is so merciful. It's the form of Krishna that comes to you. Not only comes to you, it enters into you, it purifies you. The form of Krishna is beautiful, but you have to go to see the form of Krishna. Garuda Purana. Garuda Purana is one of the Puranas, but when someone dies, they read the Garuda Purana. It's all about leaving the body and things get... and hearing, what do we have next? Lila Shravan. You can hear about the past. My dear king, one should stay at a place where the great acharyas speak about the transcendental activities of the Lord. And one should give oral reception to the nectarian river flowing from the moon-like face of such great personalities. If someone eagerly continues to hear such transcendental sounds, then certainly he will become freed from all material hunger, thirst, fear, and lamentation, as well as the illusions of material existence. I think this is about a great king that he was cursed to die, that he would be bitten 7 days by a snake bird. You're saying, interesting. Have you ever seen a beast cobra? It's this hideous creature. It's like a cobra on four legs. And it's hideous, but it's not poisonous. But everyone thinks it is. So there's a lot of things. Don't snake birds. don't doubt, Matthew. Snake birds. Anyway, he was cursed to die. And the reason he was cursed is because when he was thirsty, he got angry. And he threw a dead snake on a sage, and the sage's son cursed him. But he for 7 days, when he was hearing, Prabhupada quotes in the Nectar of Devotion that some people think, it's in one purport, that Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, but I see a river of nectar flowing from the moon-like face of Krishna to Arjuna. And it is nectar, because Krishna's pastimes, we're going to learn in the last class, they're perfectly composed rasa. They're the perfect composition of love. And when you hear love, you feel love. And that's what theater is. Whatever emotion is being expressed, it comes to you. So maybe one day with this group we can do that. I can have a Leela Katha, just a pastime, one pastime of Krishna. But Tuesday I'm doing it. I'm advertising this Tuesday. Yeah. Well, I'm going to continue speaking. And my niece will come to hear it, who visited me in Vrindavan for 2 weeks also.
The lawyer?
What?
The lawyer?
The photographer. Oh, this is a very wonderful next one. Very important item. And this is seeing all joys and suffering as a gift of God. We can execute this item always. Always. And it is a gift of God. As the Persian saying says, when God is digging a ditch to throw you in, he's making a well to quench your thirst. Everything that comes is meant to bring you closer to God, which means to elevate your consciousness. And sometimes something which doesn't move our way is the thing we need to bring us to a real platform of happiness. Rather than what we think is happiness, which is just like almost like not pain and an expectation of something. But there's a real happiness, which is a deep spiritual happiness. And this is a famous, famous verse. Did you learn this one? Okay, Megan.
My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, while offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and mind, is certainly eligible for liberation, for it's become his rightful claim.
Two things here. Offer your obeisances in all circumstances, and bow again and again. It's thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you do this, Dayabak means inheritance. It says just like the son was the rightful heir to the father's. In the same way, you inherit the kingdom of God. I was just thinking, like when I had that pain, right? It was really, I didn't know what I was going to do, because I have to look cool up here, right? No, I'm just joking. But I had that pain. God just wanted me to stand up. That's all. Very important verse. And these are actually the prayers of Lord Brahma, which is actually the Leela, the pastime that I'm speaking on now. These are his prayers after he was humbled by Krishna. Next verse. Remembrance. There's remembrance and meditation. And remembrance means that some way or another establishes mind in continuous relation with Krishna. This is relationship is called remembrance. You know, Prabhupada said, little children to remember Krishna, they can eat like cows and think of Krishna and the cowherd boys. Right? They can think of cows. They can eat like this sometimes. Prabhupada said when we're taking prasadam, we can think of Krishna and the cowherd boys taking. So there's different ways to just remember. And now, but meditation is a much more intense thing. Next one. It's a skillful kind of a skillful consumption of the, you know, it's like a real deep, there's all kinds of meditational techniques in bhakti. Next week, we're going to discuss the other type of sadhana, which is called raganuga bhakti, spontaneous devotion, which deals with the meditational techniques, and it's very interesting, and it's something that many, many people become very confused about. Especially when they come to Vrindavan, where some people think they're advanced. I've had so many people get confused. In fact, people that were in my community got so confused about it, but that I wrote a paper, which I'll put on, if anybody has the time to read, which is called Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada's Guru and Raganuga Sadhana. So what it is. And I actually went to the place where all these people are meditating, and I said, okay, let's have a discussion. Where does this begin? What is this? And it was fascinating. But, you know, the conclusion was that Prabhupada's line really understands this very, very deeply. Because if you take to... meditation is the next one, isn't it? Oh, no. Okay. It was supposed to say... All right. Oh, wait. Can you go back one? Okay, something was left out. That's okay. Let's go next. Oh, yeah, this is still remembrance. So this is, let me offer my respectful obeisance to Supreme Lord Krishna, because if someone remembers him, either at the time of death or during his span of life, he becomes freed from all sinful reactions. That may be a verse by Rupa Goswami. Let's go to meditation. To meditate means to engage the mind in thinking of the form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, the activities of the Lord, and the service of the Lord. And it's a very deep meditation. And I do know people, friends, who are qualified for very, very high levels of meditation. Very high levels of meditation. And I know... you know, the amount of studying and understanding and thought that goes into this. And they have to be in a very high platform. And there's a friend of mine that his meditation is so high that it's not that it's constructed by him, it flows through him. And actually he's in constant pain. He only has about 6 or 8 waking hours. His fatigue is so bad. And he had operations on the nerves in his face. But it doesn't stop his meditation. His meditation sometimes gets sweeter. And it's very, very deep what person can meditate on. And there's the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There's a section on what are the different bhavas, emotional components of Madhurya Ras, conjugal love with God. And it's a very short section in this because Rupa Goswami wrote a whole book on it called Ujjvala Nilamani. And in it, there's so many details, because when you meditate, you have to meditate on something. So it's a very concentrated, deep, there's meditational techniques on how you do it. But we're going to discuss more. It's a high qualification. But there's ekanga bhakti and there's an ekanga bhakti. Ekanga means you can choose one item. You can just choose chanting the holy name. And when you choose chanting the holy name, then what eventually you're meditating on, in a very high sense, in a realized sense, in understanding your relationship with Krishna, is the eagerness that comes out of your heart to serve Krishna. So, let's go. A person is always engaged in meditation on the sweet pastimes and wonderful activities of the Lord, surely becomes freed from all material contamination. Okay, we'll go on. Servitude. There's 9 basic practices of devotional service. The last 3 are considered a little bit advanced. This is still in Vaidhi Bhakti. Remember, what Vaidhi Bhakti is, your inspiration for your focus is your understanding that this is what this is what's said in the scriptures. It's a discipline. So, but this is a very high, and there are 2 kinds of offerings of good actions to Krishna by the Vaishnavas that are considered servitude. Ordinary good actions and special actions such as mantra recitation, meditation, and worship. This is discussed in the Waves of Devotion very, very carefully. But basically, ordinary means, you know, just your duties in life. Your duties as a married person, your duties as a single person, your duties as a teacher, you know, and in the culture of India, there were many, many duties. And some people say, well, this could be a type of servitude if you think of them in relationship to God. But some say, and Rupa Goswami said, but really bhakti is when you're actually, you know, more directly conscious. And Prabhupada kind of reconciled that. Go to the next page. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities or prescribed duties according to the 4 orders of social and spiritual life are not actually pure devotees. It doesn't mean you can't be a pure devotee, but it means there are certain things you're doing because it's your attachments, and therefore you're engaged in them. So it's not real. The pure thing is when you just want to please Krishna. But still, because they're offering the results to the Lord, they are accepted as devotees. One has no such desire, but acts spontaneous out of love of God, and such a person must be accepted as a pure devotee. It doesn't even mean you change your activities. You can do what you're doing. It's the motive that you're doing it. You're not doing it just because it's your impulse. You're doing it because it's your service to God. But even if it is, you know, okay, now I'm entering into the ashram, married, and I'm going to have children and things because these are all my needs, but I'll offer them to Krishna. Right? So then he's saying this is a type of servitude. But at a particular time, you'll do everything out of love for Krishna, even raise a family. So let's go on. Did I give you this verse?
No.
Okay. 1 a week she gets, so it adds up. It adds up. And I give her the key one, so she looks good. Looks like she knows thousands and thousands of verses. But it's, I mean, how long have we been doing this, Megan? Like 6 months? A year?
A year.
Yeah, so there's a lot of verses you learn in a year. I just wrote the Sanskrit because the other mood of servitude is not that you're working and just offer the actions, but somehow or other in your heart, you're in that humble mood that I am God's servant. It's really a very deep internal thing. You know, it's just your, it's called abhiman, and abhiman can sometimes mean ego, but could also mean your spiritual identity. And this is just a verse of someone who really thinks he's a servant. It says, "Ihayasya Harer Dasye," that he is the servant of Krishna. Karmana Manasa Gira, with his works, his mind, and his words. Such a person is called Jivan Mukta. He's called the person who's liberated in this life. Because always, without stop, his words, I'm the servant of Krishna, I speak about that. This is not about renunciation. It's about the consciousness which you gradually cultivate in the world as you're advancing on a spiritual path towards perfection. And we're all seeking to a perfection, and we're moving there. It's a path. And the perfection of bhakti is that your heart is just filled with love of God to everything. And you may stay in your thing. In the Gita, it says, one who's intelligent sees action and inaction and inaction and action. So what is action and inaction? This person's renounced and he's meditating, right? But he's thinking, boy, this is so impressive. People will really, really like me. So you see action and inaction. He's not doing anything, but he gets the action. It's akarma and karma. Karma means action. It also means work. So karma and akarma, or action and inaction, means you see karma, the reaction in his akarma or his not work. Or you can see akarma in karma, or inaction, or no reaction in work. And what is that? The person's a businessman. He has a suit, right? He's going to work. But he's completely dedicated to God. He's doing his family activities. He's earning money so that his children can be educated and good citizens spiritually. And he's just completely dedicated to God. I was at Satyahari. He has two nice children. And he sent those children to get a spiritual education in India, in Amritsar, right?
My daughter was there 7 years.
7 years he sent his children. So he works hard. He's, he got a job in driving the subways. And now he's vice president of one of the unions. So he worked really hard. But if you look at him, oh, he's a subway conductor. I see inaction in action, because he's so dedicated to God that he worked hard so that his children now, they have that flavor of devotion. They're not just kids just running around. So it's the mood of I'm a servant. That's the main mood of devotion. I'm a servant. Get next. Friendship is to be declared as two types of. One friend is you're a well-wisher, or you can see God as my well-wisher. You have a friend that wishes you well. So you see God as wishing me well, and you develop. It's a very high consciousness, they say. But Prabhupada said, you can be the friend of God and wish God well. And he said, someone who actually takes up the mission of giving God to others. And again, I asked you before to meditate on people you admire. You know, so they're actually wishing God well by doing the service of God, by teaching Bhagavad Gita. And sharing that with others. So that's, and the other is assuming friendship. And this is not your eternal relationship with Krishna, but it's something at a very high level that some people have, that somehow they go in the temple and they're so in that communion with God, that they just lay down in the temple. Which could be like, you know, you're not supposed to do that. You know, it's God. But, and that shows you, you know, the essence is to remember Krishna. Right? The essence is to remember Krishna. So somehow or other, and that's why that's above the rules almost, right? Because they're remembering Krishna, but they have such an intimate friendship that with God, they feel that way that it becomes a little informal. It can't be imitated. So let's go. That's high. And Atmanivedanam, it basically means whatever you think is the self, you give yourself totally. And there's a story in the Bhagavatam about that. We don't have time, but you want to look in the ninth canto, I think. No, it's a story of Bali Maharaj. You know, and I think he was the king of the demons, and Krishna came to him as a dwarf and asked for 3 steps. And, you know, with 2 steps, he covered the whole universe. He said, well, where's my next step? Because he came as a brahmachari dwarf, and, you know, so he was begging for something. So he said, well, what do you want? He said, just give me 3 steps of land. But he was God, so with the 2 steps, he covered the whole universe. He said, well, now where's my next step, you promise? And he went like this, put it on my head. You have everything now. So Atma, this is, you're so advanced that you give up the ego. And what's the ego? The ego is a subtle material element that funnels your consciousness or delimits it into a particular body. You're not the body, but we identify. I am a man, I am old, I'm nationality, I'm this, I'm that. I'm an elephant, I'm an ant. We're not those things, but why do we think it? So he says, my Lord, I may be living with somebody as a human being or demigod, but whatever mode of life, I do not mind. Because these bodies are simply byproducts of the 3 modes of nature. And I, who am in possessioning of these bodies, am surrendering myself unto you. Okay? Let's go. Offering a favorite article. we had the first Nectar of Devotion class in Vrindavan. And when we first started this Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education. So Raghunath had just joined. So he came to the class. So the teacher was Tamal Krishnamurti. He said, you can offer a favorite article to Krishna. So it means 2 things. It means what Krishna likes best, and what you like best, you give to Krishna. Just like the greatest scholar in Vrindavan was asked a question. I have a transcript. I shared it with Satyahari. He asked, can you offer pizza to Krishna? And he said, whatever you like best, you can offer with the most love. So they asked Raghunath. The teacher said, what would you offer? He said, I give him my sweatshirt. So offering a favorite article. But it's, and sometimes there's things like these little seeds. They're called kunjaberries. They're little black, white, and red seeds, and they make little necklaces, and that's one of Krishna's favorite things. I have them. And I offer them my deities every morning. Performing all endeavors for Krishna. Prabhupada said sometimes someone is a big businessman and he offers, the fruits of his activities for the benefit of spreading God consciousness. Being a surrendered soul, it's a very internal consciousness. Serving trees such as the tulsi. And here, it expands it. We have a little worship, watering and so, things like that. But it's expanded to seeing, hearing. There's a beautiful verse there. Yeah, it's Tulsi is auspicious in all respects. Simply by seeing, you know what Tulsi is a plant. Vrindavan means Brinda means Tulsi. It's the forest of Tulsi. It's the plant that is the favorite of Krishna. And we don't offer any food to Krishna without Tulsi. So, and we worship it every morning. Namo, namo, Tulsi Krishna Prayasi. Namo, namo, Radha Krishna Seva Pavo Abhilasi. Tulsi is auspicious simply by seeing, by touching, by remembering, by praying to, by bowing before, by hearing about, or simply by sowing this tree. There's always auspiciousness. Anyone who comes in touch with the Tulsi tree in the above-mentioned ways eternally lives in Vaikuntha. That person I told you upstairs, that's upstate where I live, across the street from me, that serves his guru so incredibly. He stays with him all night because he broke his foot. He can't even go to the bathroom. He serves. And it's so amazing. He doesn't have his own room. He just has like a chair, like one of those lazy chairs in the living room. When he gets some time, he just goes to sleep. And he cooks. He's one of the greatest cooks you'll ever... he's an amazing cook. Really one of the best. And he's always cooking, but he grows Tulsi. And, you know, he's expert at so many things, so he has the lighting, and we get the munjaris are the kind of the seeds and the flowers. I mean, it's like so much. You can't believe it. 8-10 Tulsi is just growing luxuriously. Nice devotion. Next. Serving the Lord according to one's position, according to your capacity. Right? Someone, you know, Prabhupada was so happy. He was in 26 Second Avenue, and this drunk came in. And he kind of walked in, and, you know, people would say, Prabhupada said, no. And he went in the bathroom, and he replaced the toilet paper, and then he walked out. Prabhupada was so appreciative, according to his position. Kartik. I explain that. It's a sacred month that comes in October, November. I always follow it, especially in Vrindavan. It says what you can achieve any place, which is Krishna Prem, you can easily achieve in Vrindavan when you do the Kartik Vrata. Now, I would do this. The only year in the last 40 years or so, I wasn't in Vrindavan at that time. I was in Gita Nagari, and it was actually my best time. Because Vrindavan, there's so many people that want to see me, and just living in the cabin there. And I did it in the strictest way. For 1 month, I just ate once a day rice, dal, mixed without any spices or oil for 1 month. And then I did chanting a lot. And it really, Madhava Titi Bhakati Jani, these things, they give birth to devotion. So here in Kartik, we at least offer a lamp every day. This year, I'm sure they'll have here. You can come sometimes, offer a lamp. It's very, very beautiful in Kartik. Different people take different vows during that month. Ujra Vrata, Kartik Vrata. It's the month of Radharani. Observing festivals, celebrating the Lord's activities, like the Sringadev's appearance day. That brings bhakti. We'll go. These are just simple ones. Let's go. The five most important... This is actually a verse. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravana Mathura Vasa Sri Murtiya Shradaya Sevana. These are the five most potent items of devotional service. It says even a neophyte, if he performs them without offense, can get bhava, or which is neophyte means no love, can get very high love from this. And there's sadhu sangha, associating and serving the devotees, actually serving the devotees. There's one lady, she died in Vrindavan, and she was a business lady. And she even wanted to leave, and the day before she wanted to leave, her health went such that she couldn't leave. And I remember Madhava and I, Andrew, were doing kirtan for her. And I would go there too. sometimes in her house. And she said something before she left that was so beautiful. She said, I am not advanced, but I know who is and I serve them. Beautiful, right? I'm not advanced, but I know who is and I serve them. And she left in Vrindavan, which is so auspicious. And she was just a business lady. But she would do so much service, you know, her business and help people and help devotees. And so it's so practical, serving the devotees. And sadhu sangha means also especially hearing from them. Because that's actually the best service, because that also engages them in service. So hearing from devotees, nam kirtan, chanting the holy name. Anybody wants to go dance with Clarissa?
Yeah.
She's so blissful. And it's
you can do it. Don't wear dopey skirts.
So nice. You know, I remember when Clarissa came and she just put a foot on the gas from the beginning. And she's very wonderful. So what? That's all, huh?
Yeah, they should
get to. Okay, that's why, I don't want to embarrass Champak, but she came and she also got serious. Run into it, it's nice. Bhagavat Shravana, hearing the stories of Krishna. So, so powerful. Maturavas, visiting the holy places. And Sri Murtiya, worshipping the deity. We're going to stop now. I always respect it. We may go 5 or 10 minutes after. If somehow you can't, then that's fine. You can just leave. But what I want to do now is just do free writing. Just get out your pens. What touched your heart? What you remembered? And just we'll do 2-3 minutes of free writing. Okay? You remember how it worked?